if anybody has not yet received their class list, and we'll be able to facilitate you going to the classroom directly quickly. If parents have any questions, we're here for you. And without any further ado, I'll ask Rabbi Silver to address us.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank Rabbi Sanders for inviting me to share a few words with you tonight. I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer at the beginning. Whenever I am asked to speak on the topic of chinuch, I always say that the truth is, whatever I know from my wife, Baruch Hashem. So I can't say that I have any nuggets of wisdom from chinuch. And any hatzlacha that Baruch Hashem we've been zocha to have with our own children has had nothing to do with me. Well, I know when to stay out of the way. That's always a key. But I really just want to share with you reflections, thoughts. You could choose to take them. You could choose to accept them. You could choose to disagree with them. But in no way do I mean to present these concepts as authoritative or absolute, unequivocal Toras Moshe Misinai. Just some ha'aras, just some interesting insights that personally I have found helpful and that hopefully you'll find helpful as well. I want to begin with an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Baram Zachar Osa Ish Letov. The Gemara says, we want to speak about a particular individual who should be remembered for good. Who was this individual? Yoshua ben Gamla Shmo. Yoshua ben Gamla was a Kohen Gadol, high priest during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. What did Yoshua ben Gamla do? She'el Malehu Nishtachach Torah Miyisrael. An incredible statement. For it had it not been for Yoshua ben Gamla, Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Why so? Shebetchila is an incredible Gemara. Shebetchila, Mishi Yeshlo Av Melando Torah. In the beginning, if someone had a father, the father would teach the child Torah. Mishi Ein Lo Av, Lo Haya Lo Me Torah. Somebody didn't have a father, they didn't learn Torah. Hiskinu Shemo Shivim Melande Tinokos Birushalayim. So the rabbis made an enactment, they made a takana. They set up yeshivos, they set up schools in Yerushalayim. Fantastic. Only one problem. Adayim mishi yeshlav haya ma'alo melando. If someone had a father, the father would take the child to Yerushalayim. Mishe'en lo'av, lo haya olev alamad. Somebody who didn't have a father to take them to Yerushalayim was out in the dark. There was no chinuch. There was no education. Hiskinu shimoshivim b'chol plachu plach. So they made another enactment. We'll set up schools in every city. This way, even if you live outside of the sacred city of Yerushalayim, you still have access to chinuch. But there was still a problem. What was the problem? The problem is, those were regional schools, and people from the outlying villages would still not be able to make it there. Furthermore, again, you think carpool is a new problem. It's not. Hey, again, it was a fundamental shiloh. Who's taking the kids to school? So the Gemara says something amazing. At Sheba Yoshua ben Gamla v'tikein, Shimoshivin Malande Tinokos Bechomadina Ubechol Ir Viir. Yoshua ben Gamla said, we have to make schools in every single locale. In every single town, there has to be a place to learn. Umachnisin Osan Keben Shesh Ukeben Sheva. And we'll bring the children in at the age of 6, at the age of 7. That was their educational model. And the Rishonim comment on this Gemara that Machnisin will bring the children in. That Yoshua ben Gamla said, it's not just enough to make local schools, but we have to arrange for public transportation as well. We have to have the kids picked up, because sometimes if you just leave it for the parents, what's going to end up happening? The Gemara says, Zachar Osa Ish Letov. This man is remembered for good. Because what did Yoshua ben Gamla do? He revolutionized the educational system. He said, it's not just enough to rely on the parents. It's not just enough to rely on the scholars of Yerushalayim. It's not just enough to rely on regional schools. We have to bring chinuch into every single corner. You have to make education readily accessible. Wherever Jews are, you can't make Jews come to chinuch. You have to make chinuch come to the Jews. But what I want to highlight from this Gemara is an incredibly important idea. Rabbi Sanders alluded to it. The reason why Yoshua ben Gamla's innovation was so novel is because we have a pasuk. And the pasuk says, "V'limadatem osam espinechem ledaber bam." It is the obligation of a parent to teach their children. The obligation of chinuch, from at least from a biblical perspective, is not one that is outsourced, is not one that is given over to a third party. The obligation to be mechanech my children rests upon me and me alone. Yehoshua ben Gamla understood, not everyone is capable of doing that. Not everybody is capable from a skills perspective. Not everybody is capable from a pedagogical perspective. Not everybody is capable of teaching their children. I remember when my boys, we have twin boys, Baruch Hashem, and when they were studying for their bar mitzvah, they said, Tati, you're going to learn with us, right? I said, boys, I love you. I'm not going to learn with you. Because I knew how it would end up. It wouldn't be pretty at the end, right? We would start out as chaverim, and by the end, na'asu sonim. It wouldn't be pretty. It wouldn't be pretty. Not every parent is equipped to be able to be mechanich their children. So Yehoshua ben Gamla created what we have now, which is this incredible synergistic partnership between parents and schools. Parents sometimes think that ultimately, again, they fulfill their obligation of chinuch through dropping off children and through tuition. Schools sometimes think that they don't have to be involved in what's happening in the home because their job is only here, and both sides are wrong. Chinuch, educating our children, is a synergistic partnership between parents and between schools. And in any synergistic partnership, each partner has their own unique set of responsibilities. What is the school's obligation? So I want to preface this by saying, I am not speaking on behalf of Beis Yaakov. This is my own feeling, what I think a school's obligation is. I think that a school's obligation is actually quite simple. It's to make each and every child feel valued. The job of a school is to make every single child feel chashuv, to feel important. When a child feels valued, when they feel important, there is nothing they can't accomplish. If you make them feel good about themselves, if you make them feel that they are special, if you make them feel that they are worthwhile, if you make them feel valued, the sky is the limit. Conversely, chas v'shalom, if a school doesn't make its students feel valued and feel special, you could be teaching with the latest educational models. You could have the smart boards and the whiteboards and the laptops and the this and the that. Won't make a shred of difference. If you don't build up children, they will not succeed. How does a school make a child feel valued? And again, my own personal opinions. I think with five basic points, and the order is important. Number one is to smother them with warmth and love. That when children come to school, they should feel that they are going to a place, they are surrounded by people who profoundly love them and care for them. People who are not here because it's their duty or obligation to be here, although that's true also, but people who do what they do because they can't get enough of the children. Because what a privilege it is for a school, for teachers, for administrators, to have a hand in shaping the upcoming generation. You can never give enough warmth, and you can never give enough love. I don't think that means that the children are going to love coming to school. Children are children. But a school has an obligation to create an avira, an atmosphere that is infused with warmth and love. Number two, to help students identify and to bolster their strengths. Every child has strengths. But like most human beings, we don't wear our strengths on our sleeves. A lot of times, many of us as adults can attest to this. We don't discover our strengths until much later on in life. And we think to ourselves, oh, had I known that I possessed that strength when I was younger, imagine what I could have become. It's the job of a school to help children discover their strengths, build and bolster those strengths. But it is also the obligation of a school to help children identify their weaknesses. Because children, like all human beings, have Achilles heels, have weaknesses. Sometimes it's tempting to ignore weaknesses. It's tempting to pretend like weaknesses don't exist. But we all know, and we often learn this in our adult lives, that when you ignore your weaknesses, they do not go away. In fact, they tend to fester and amplify. It's a school's job to be able to point out what the weaknesses are, but ultimately, again, address those weaknesses. Anyone could point out a weakness. a mechanech, a mechaneches, a school, points it out, identifies, and then engages in the process of tikkun, then engages in the process of somehow working on that weakness, and halavai if there's zocha, turning that weakness into a strength. And then, of course, there are skills. There are skills that are necessary to be a successful student. There are skills that are necessary to be a successful person. And knowledge. And if you'll notice, I know it sounds strange, that I put skills and knowledge as numbers 4 and 5 on my list when talking about what a school needs to do for its students. And that is not by accident. That is intentional. In the days in which we live, the thing that children need most is not the latest textbook. They need the latest textbook as well. It's not the smart board, although the smart board is immensely helpful. It's not the cutting-edge curriculum, although that is a necessity for being a successful student. It's love. It's warmth. It's helping them to discover who they are, both the good as well as the not-so-good. But as we said before, in any synergistic partnership, each side has roles. So I outlined for you, the kids are my personal opinion as to what the role of the school is. So what's our role? Because the truth is, I'm here talking to you not as a member of the faculty or a member of Beis Yaakov, but like all of you sitting in this audience tonight, as parents. What is our job as parents in the chinuch of our children? And the truth is, this is incredibly important because most of us live such frenetic lives. We're running around in so many different directions with so many different things, balancing careers, balancing homes, balancing ruchnius and gashmius. And that's just like on a regular day when nothing goes wrong. And then all the other stuff that comes up day in and day out. But we have to ask ourselves, we want to raise successful children. You know, our children are our greatest gift. A matana, a child is a gift like one can't even imagine. We sometimes get so caught up in the cost and the details of raising them that we forget the incredible gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And the gift comes with one condition. I'm giving you a beautiful holy neshama. You need to give it back to me better than the way I sent it down. That's the job of a parent. So what is our role as parents in the chinuch of our children? Now the truth is, there is not one answer to this. There are multiple answers to this. Because the chinuch that a parent has to do for their child spans many different parts of the spectrum. So tonight, because of the limited time we have, I just want to share with you one thought. I'll draw your attention to the first paragraph in Shema. First paragraph in Shema, we know it well. Shema Yisrael, Shalom Kino Hashem Echad. With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your means. And God tells us, the things that I command you today, they should be on your heart, in your heart. And you should teach your children, they should speak in these words when they live in your home, when they travel, when they get up, when they go to sleep. And then the Torah goes on to discuss the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah. And the Al Shech HaKadosh raises such a simple yet profound question. You know, when I saw this question, I was embarrassed that I've said Shema a couple of times in my life. And I was a little bit disappointed that this never dawned on me before. The Al Shech says, why is Vishinamtam Levanecha in the middle over here? Vishinamtam Levanecha is the pasuk of Chinuch. You should teach your children, l'daber bum, to go ahead and l'daber bum doesn't just mean regurgitate words of Torah. It means l'daber bum, to be involved in Torah when they're in your home, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, and when they go out into the world. Asks the Al-Sheikh, that's not what the paragraph is talking about. The paragraph is talking about my obligations as a Jew. What are my obligations as a Jew? I have to love Hashem with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my means. I have to go ahead and keep the words of Torah in my heart, on my heart. I have to put on tefillin. I have to put up a mezuzah. Why is the mitzvah of chinuch put here right in the middle? And I want to read to you the Al-Sheikh's words. He says, V'hu, ki im yiyu ha-dvarim ha-yotzi mi-pi ha-melami Torah, o mochiach b'mishor, mi-kerev libo, the Al-Sheikh says something amazing. What's the preceding verse? V'hayu hadvarim ha'ila sharnuchi mitzavecha ayom al livavecha. Al livavecha means what? Means what? Not on your heart, but in your heart. The Torah is telling us, if you want to be an effective mechanech, if you want to be an effective mechanech, then as long as you have it in your heart, you'll be able to convey it to your children. Or state it a little bit differently. Whatever you want to give over to your children, you must first possess yourself. If you want your child to be it, you have to be it first. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ila sh'anochi mitzavecha ayom al livavecha. If my Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if my mitzvos are in your heart, then v'shinamtam levanecha. If it's in your heart, if you're practicing what you preach, if you're living the proper life, then you will be able to convey to your children those same ideals. The Al-Sheikh says, we sometimes translate the word chinuch as education. But he says, in fact, that's not true. Chinuch really means to give over. And the Al-Sheikh says, you could only give over to your children that which you yourself possess. And the Al-Sheikh is teaching us something incredibly amazing. When we think of chinuch, we think of strategies. Strategies. How should I talk to my children? Right, like every parent wants to know, what should you be strict on? What should you let go? Legitimate questions. The Al-Sheikh says, Bala, before you get to any of that, whoever you want your child to be, make sure that you are that person first. Because says the Al-Sheikh, if you try to get your child to be something that you are not, if you try to get your child to actualize ideas and ideals that I am not living, my chinuch will be unsuccessful. If it's al livavecha, if I'm living the life that I'm trying to preach to my children, then v'shinamtam livanecha. It is only such an incredibly profound insight into chinuch. Before you start with strategies, and before you start with rules, the first step in chinuch is, we all have a vision for what we want our children to be. We all have things that are important for us in the chinuch of our children. The fundamental and sometimes difficult question that a parent has to ask themselves, do I possess those traits? If I possess those traits, then I could pass them on to my children. If I don't possess them, then I'm just preaching. And my dear fellow parents, I think most of us would agree that we remember very little of what our parents said, but remember much of what our parents did. At the end of the day, your kids might make it look like they're listening to you when you're talking. I don't want to break the bad news. Most times they're not. If they have a little bit of derech eretz, they at least pretend that they're listening. But more than that, even if they do listen for those few moments, I don't know, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a physician. I don't know how it works. A neurologist, I don't know what the amount of retention is, how long they retain it for. But if I was a betting man, I would bet for very little. Don't worry so much about what you say to your kids, but focus on what you are modeling for them. The Al-Sheikh says, if it's al-livavecha, if you're living the life that you should be living, and not just preaching the ideals, but actually going ahead and living those ideals, v'shinamtam levanecha, you'll be able to go ahead and you'll be able to impress that upon your children. You know, one of the great struggles in, I'm mindful of the time, I promise, one of the great struggles in contemporary chinuch is derech eretz. There is a fundamental breakdown of derech eretz. And it is shocking to see how young children are becoming ba'alei and ba'alos chutzpah. Overwhelming. Overwhelming. Children by nature respect authority. Children by nature are deferential towards adults. Where does that come from? And again, I think we have to ask ourselves, if we want to raise children who are ba'alei derech eretz, do we have derech eretz? How do we talk? How do we interact? What happens at our Shabbos table? What happens with our friends? Because if you think that those little ears aren't listening, we all know They hear everything we say. Sometimes they even hear the things we think. If I want children who are Ba'alei Derech Eretz, then I have to be the consummate example of what it means to be a Ba'al Derech Eretz. If I want my child to possess Avas Yisrael, it's not just enough to talk to them about it. Don't lecture, don't preach, but live it. I want my child to love Torah. I want my child to love Tefillah. You fill in the blank. Whatever you want your child to love in this world, you want your child to have respect for authority. You want your child to follow rules. You want your child to respect not just the Kodesh teachers, but the English teachers as well. Model it. Model it. If it's Aliv Avecha, if you are living those ideals, they will get passed down to your children. You could preach from here until tomorrow. Has almost zero effect. Don't preach it. Live it. And if you live those ideals that you want to convey to your children, if it's Aliv Avecha, then Aliv Avecha, then it's Vishinamtam Levanecha. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that at a bris, we say to a little, I know it's wrong audience here, but okay, you'll bear with me. We say to the little boy, Zach Chatan Gadol Yiyah. This literally translated, this little one should become big. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what does that mean? I mean, is it like a biological statement? Zach Chatan, this one who's little will be big? Okay. Rabbi Soloveitchik says something so beautiful. He says, if you look back in Bereishis, you will notice that the pasuk refers to the two luminaries, the sun and the moon. The sun is called the Ma'or HaGadol, the large luminary. The moon is called the Ma'or HaKatan, the small luminary. Why? Because the sun generates its own light. The moon does not. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik so beautifully. Do you know what we say to a little boy? And you can apply it to a little girl just as well. Zah HaKatan. Right now you're little. You know what you are? You're a little moon. You won't generate your own light. But you know whose light you do reflect? My light. Our children reflect our light. We are the sun that shines behind the moon of our beautiful daughters. We are the sun that infuses light into the moon of our beautiful children. Our children will glow as brightly as the luminescent strength of our sun. If we're strong, if we burn brightly, if we're not just talking, but we're living the ideals, then our children will reflect that light as well. I'll conclude with a beautiful story. A couple once went to the Chafetz Chaim. They had a little boy. Wife gave birth to a little boy, one month old. They come to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim says, okay, how could I help you? And they said, Rebbe, we're here for a bracha for our son. Sure, what bracha would you like? We want him to be a tzaddik. Chafetz Chaim pauses for a moment and he says, I wish you would have come to me 20 years ago. Parents said, maybe Rebbe didn't hear us. The baby was born a month ago. Right? This is actually pretty good timing, right? A month after the birth, mother and father are there. So what do you mean you should have come 20 years ago? Chafetz Chaim says, people have a big mistake. They think that to raise children who are tzaddikim and tzidkaneos, you get a bracha from a rebbe, you get a bracha from a tzaddik, and that's the skula. He says, do you want to know how you raise a child who's a tzaddik? Become a tzaddik. Become a tzaddik. So had you come to me 20 years ago, I would have told you, one day you're going to want to have children who are tzaddikim. Fantastic. Start working on yourself now. And if you start working on yourself when you're young, then Amir Hashem, by the time you bring children into this world, you'll be a tzaddik. And if your sun shines bright, then your light will be reflected in your beautiful children. Chafetz Chaim saw the parents were a little bit dejected. They made the trip to Raden to be able to get the bracha from the tzaddik, and here the tzaddik gave them this, you're 20 years too late. And I want to read to you in Hebrew from the story what the Chafetz Chaim said. He said, Aval al dago, gamach shav lo meuchar. Chafetz Chaim said, don't worry, it's not too late. Rach ratzisi shetavinu as hameser. V'im mehayom tikablu al atzmichem la'avod al atzmichem, taschilu le'ismali b'midos tovos yirashamayim, tarvichu revach kafo. Chafetz Chaim said, it's never too late in parenting to change your parenting paradigm. You're right. I should have started raising my kids 20 years before they were born. I should have worked on myself to become a tzaddik, to become great. That when I brought children into this world, they'll be able to reflect my life. But I didn't do it. Chafetz Chaim said, don't worry. It's never too late to change things around. Some of us are new parents. Some of us are veteran parents. Some of us have been doing it right. Some of us have been mediocre. And some of us are just clueless. But one thing is clear, which is we could all do better. There's always better parenting. There's always better chinuch. There's always more to give to our children. What I would suggest for us tonight is right now our first avoda, especially as we enter in, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, a time of new beginnings. It's an opportunity to look at our parenting style. It's an opportunity to look at the way we're raising our children, to the homes we are creating. We might be saying all the right things, but are we living the right things? We might be able to preach a wonderful sermon, a wonderful drush about all the things that are important that our children should do. But more important than the drushes is, are we leading by example? May we be zoche mirtza Hashem to adopt the form of chinuch, of alivavecha, and then vishinamtam livanecha, to find the courage to build ourselves up. Whatever you want your kid to be, you become that person first. If you live those ideals in your heart, you'll be able to pass them on to your children. If we do that, we should be zoche that all of the kitanim, our beautiful little daughters, who are mamish the future of Klal Yisrael, beli shum guzma, with no little bit of hyperbolic exaggeration. Right now, they're beautiful little moons, reflecting our light. But if we channel towards them enough beautiful spiritual luminescent light, then one day they will, Amir Hashem, shine beautifully and brightly on their own. Thank you.
No, it's beautiful. I just want to ask the teachers, while you're sitting there, if you can just leave for one moment so you can catch your breath. To all the parents here, I just want to say that the theme of this year's school wide program is covered. And the first element is covered,